Most of us probably went to the altar and said the sinner's prayer, which is wonderful, right? We confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We confess that we are sinners who need salvation. That is wonderful. But once you get up from that altar experience, your born again process begins.
Teach her how to jump and how to stretch when she reach, like the angels do, and you gon' make it through now. Tell about the healer.
I said to the Father, I said, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that my relationship grows with you.
Take her higher, higher.
Hey there, ladies. Welcome back. Welcome back. I am Casey Alexis, and you're watching Being Eve TV. So let's jump right in it, y'all. Last week, we talked about the ABCs of our faith. We focused on letter A, which was on anointing. If you hadn't had a chance to watch that video, go ahead and do so right now. It was powerful. It was so good. It blessed me even as I was recording it. So I know it blessed you as well. So today, in continuation of the ABCs of our faith, we're going to be jumping into letter B, which is going to be born again. Has a little bit of the B and a little bit of the A. Okay, so why did I choose born again? Okay, so this is essential to our Christian faith, right? And we talked about this in episode 1, how essential it is to have a strong foundation in our faith. That is the only way we can lead our children in the way that they should go, right? Because we're not just teaching them, we're also living this out. Timothy's mother and grandmother lived out their faith in front of Timothy, right? Because we don't want to be hypocrites. We don't want to say and not do. So it's essential that we understand what we believe, so our children not just follow what we say, but they also follow what we do, right? We want to lead with our actions. And so being born again is essential to our Christian faith. So we're going to jump right into John chapter 3. In this chapter, Jesus has a conversation with a priest. And this priest, his name is Nicodemus. Now, this is far out, okay, for a priest to be visiting a teacher who is controversial, okay, because Jesus is doing things and saying things at this moment that is shocking everybody, right? So Nicodemus, he comes and visits Jesus at night, okay? So you know when somebody pulls up on you at night, they don't really want anybody else to know that they're coming to see you. So Nicodemus pulls up on Jesus in John chapter 3. Let's jump there right now. So now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Now, Pharisees were very learned priests. They were very learned men in regards to the laws of God. They understood the word. They believed the word letter, right? Word for word. They studied greatly. And so he comes to Jesus at night and he says to Jesus, he calls him Rabbi, which is powerful because he's honoring Jesus and honoring the fact that, hey, this man is teaching and he's teaching the word. It may be different from what I've seen and believed all my life, but I can honor him in saying that this man is teaching, y'all. And so he comes to Jesus at night and he calls him Rabbi. And he says, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him and says, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's stop right there because that is essential. Unless you are born again, you will not be able to see the kingdom of God. That means the manifestations of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Remember when we talked about the word anointing, when you are anointed by God, we talked about having authority, access, and ability, right? But all of those things supernaturally. That supernatural anointing allows you to move in signs and wonders, unlike other people who are not anointed by God and they're just moving by talent, right? And so Jesus is saying, unless you're born again, you're never going to be able to see the kingdom of God. You'll never be able to see the manifestations of the kingdom of God. And so Nicodemus at this time says to him, well, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's a great question, because you're like, hold up, but I'm already here. I haven't been in my mother's womb since, 1980 so-and-so, you know what I mean? So here is Nicodemus saying, like, that really doesn't make sense. And then Jesus answered him and said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Another translation says, unless a man is born of the Spirit and not of the flesh, he will not be able to enter into the kingdom of God. And that right there seals the deal. Okay. In that statement, Jesus makes a distinction. I'm not talking about being born in the flesh. When you were born in the flesh, like most of us were, we were born out of our mother's womb, right? Jesus is talking about something, a supernatural experience. That means it's happening from within, where one cannot see within their eyes being born again, right? It's a born again in your spirit. And essentially, we are three-part beings. We're body, soul, and spirit, right? So we are essentially in three forms. Jesus is not talking us about us being born in our bodies again. He's talking about being born again through the Spirit, which is essential, because once you're born again in the Spirit, you begin to transform from the inside out. So eventually, being born in the Spirit will transform you in the flesh, okay? Your people will be able to see it, a transformation on the outside as to what was happening inside. Now, let's talk about being born again in the Spirit. When you are born again in the Spirit, what happens to you is you no longer live how you used to live. You no longer do the things that you used to do. Born again in the Spirit is not a one-time thing. And what I mean by that is most of us probably went to the altar and said the sinner's prayer, which is wonderful, right? We confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We confess that we are sinners who need salvation. That is wonderful. But once you get up from that altar experience, your born again process begins to happen. And how I explain that is in one of my books entitled The Moral Code. It's actually very much like one who is pregnant. As mothers, right, we know the whole experience when we go through the pregnancy stages. Becoming born again is kind of similar to that, but from a spiritual standpoint. You say the sinner's prayer, that's you coming together with your spouse, and the sex happens, and boop, pregnancy happens, right? The baby is implanted into your womb. There goes the implantation. Now God, Christ has been implanted into your heart, and now the gestation period starts to happen, right? You begin to start gestating the Word of God. You begin to start eating the Word, being fed the Word. You're going to church. You're connecting with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You're in a community. You're being fed. And so now you're just growing, growing. You're no longer a clump of cells very early in the beginning, but you start to literally grow and grow in a womb-like fashion. Okay. And what I like to say as far as the womb is you actually growing in a body within the body of Christ. You're in a church home and they're feeding you and you're growing and you're growing. And of course, you're spending time with God on your own and you're growing and you're growing and you're growing. And then as you grow, the born again process, because it is a process, just like it is a process when we're carrying a child in our womb, the baby is not implanted and comes out the next day. The baby's implanted into your uterus, and then the growth begins to happen in your uterus every month up until that 9th month period, and then the baby is born. Very similar to the whole born again experience for us as believers. We go through that period of growth as we continue to feed ourselves in the Word of God. When I say feed, I mean study. read, spend time with the Lord, spend time in prayer, we begin to see that growth happening from within us. We become born again, born in the spirit, not just the flesh. Now, when you go through that born again process, you begin to shed some things, right? Some things start to come off. If you loved alcohol, you stop loving alcohol. If you love sex, fornication, you stop fornicating. If you loved gluttony, if you were a glutton, you just eat. You stop eating a lot because you've now spending time in the Word of God and you're getting convicted. You're seeing that, wow, I wasn't living life the way I was supposed to be living it. I'm not doing the things that I was supposed to be doing. And then as the conviction comes and God starts to shed the old you, right? That's the whole born again process. The new you starts to transform. The new you starts to come out. It's literally almost like a butterfly when that, caterpillar goes into the cocoon, right? No one sees what's happening in the inside of that cocoon. So the born again process is similar to that because it's all happening inside of you. But little pieces of that transformation, people begin to see. If you love to curse, you stop cursing, right? All of these things begin to happen and then it transforms you on the outside. Now, are you going to make mistakes? Absolutely, right? Are you going to sin? Yeah, more than likely because you're still in your flesh. There's a war that still happens inside of you. And that what talks about that really, really well is Romans chapter 8. And it goes into that whole warfare that happens between your flesh and your spirit.
I wanted to take a quick detour to talk about Romans chapter 8 because I do believe it provides a really vivid description as to what the battle between the flesh and the spirit looks like. So we're going to start at verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
Because again, your flesh doesn't change, your spirit man does. What happens when you begin to become born again and you're feeding your spirit constantly on the Word of God, spending time in community, going to church and praying and really feasting in the presence of God, your spirit becomes real strong and your flesh becomes really weak. But there's still a fight, right? The fight becomes easier the more you transform. Things that used to bother you don't bother you anymore. People that used to bother you don't bother you anymore. You literally become a new creature in Christ Jesus. So being born again is essential to our walk with Christ. I know in today's world, many people think that they can still do the things that they used to do and become born again. It's right here out of the mouth of Christ. You cannot continue to live out like you're still in the world and expect to walk into the kingdom of heaven. Like, there's a kingdom standard. And that standard is set out for us not to harm us or keep us from having fun. All of it is literally to protect us. Remember, we talked about this in episode 1. God never intended for you to be a single mother. He never intended for anyone to parent alone. That was because of the fall of man. We lost control of ourselves. Right? We're sitting there fornicating. We out here busting it wide open, right? We all have a past. And sometimes with that, we birth children, we birth fruits of that path and of that past. So it's not like, you know, God is okay with us sinning, but he's given us a way out through the born again process and the acceptance of the Holy Spirit. Because becoming born again, you're not doing it in your own flesh. That's one thing I want to highlight. You cannot do this born again process through your flesh. That means through rules, laws, regulations. It's not going to happen. When Jesus said you must be born again in the Spirit, that's exactly what he means, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we learn that in the book of Acts. If you go into Acts chapter 2, you will see how the Holy Spirit came upon man and how through the power of the Holy Spirit, man can literally transform. Through the born again process, there are three parts. The first is your submission. You must submit to the born again process. And when I say submission, I also mean commitment as well. You must submit and commit to the born again process. You can't be in and out. When you went down to that altar, that was you submitting your life to Christ. You're like, I need a savior. I can't do this on my own. I was never able to do this on my own. I've made a mess of my life, Lord. Here I am. Save me. So that's the first thing you need to do. The second thing that you need to do is seek the will of the Holy Spirit. Get acclimated with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is essential to your walk with God. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit enough in the church, and it shows, because he's our helper. Jesus talks about this in John chapter 14. He talks about him sending the Holy Spirit as a comforter, as a helper, and how he's going to be our teacher and he's going to lead us into all truth. So the Holy Spirit is one of the greatest components to the walking and with Christ, and literally is the greatest component to being born again. How can you be born again in the Spirit and not of the flesh if you don't have the Spirit, if you don't have the Holy Spirit? So having the Holy Spirit is essential. So one, your submission and your commitment. Two, the Holy Spirit. The third is the Word of God. The Word of God is essential to your born again process. Reading the Word will transform you. Now, one thing that I have to mention is that reading the Word with the Holy Spirit will transform you, because it's the Spirit that gives life. If you want your spirit to come alive in Christ, right, to be born again, it is the Holy Spirit that gives life. So you have to submit and commit. You have to pursue the Holy Spirit. He's yours. That is a gift. Don't close him out. Let him in. Acts chapter 2 talks all about him, and John chapter 14 as well, where Jesus breaks down why he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an actual gift, right? And so when God gives you a gift, you want to receive it and you want to absolutely use the gift. Now that we have the Holy Spirit, the Word of God is essential. The Holy Spirit is our primary teacher, right? Even me sitting here in front of you, I'm not able to say or do anything without the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit. The only reason why I know what I know, not just in letter form like a Pharisee, but through the power of the Holy Spirit and revelation knowledge, is because the Spirit of God teaches me his Word. So when I go into the Word and I read every line and I'm going through it, I'm not just reading it as I'm reading a story. I'm literally reading it and seeking the revelation from the Holy Spirit in what God was trying to say in this particular verse, right? So this is essentially how you become born again in the Spirit. It's not a process that we can do on our own. We absolutely need the Holy Spirit. So now that I've covered all of this and covered the born again process, I pray that this has blessed you, because this here now is what you will use as you continue to grow in Christ to pull and lead your children along until they grow old and they start making their own decision. And as the Bible say, they will not depart from it, right? So it's essential to, again, know the foundations of our beliefs and why we believe what we believe. I pray that this blessed you today. I hope that through this, you understand why it's so necessary for you to become born again. And if you're watching right now and you're saying to yourself, Casey, I've never been born again, or I was and I've backslidden, let me pray for you really quickly. And as I pray, I want you to repeat after me, and not to say these words like a, you know, one who is repeating just some aimless words. As you say these words, believe them with all of your heart, because you know that you know that you know that you need a Savior. You've done this thing for so long all on your own, and you've made a mess, and you need this Savior to come in. You need Him to come into your home. You need Him to save you. You need Him to save your children. You need Him to save your family. And so you're here watching me right now. It's not by accident. God loves you so much that He had you look at this video so that you too can be born again in the Spirit, and that He can come in and begin to transform your life through the born again process. So let's pray. Father, you said in your word, if we believe with our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord, we shall be saved. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess with my mouth. I believe it with my heart. I need a Savior. I made a mess of things, and I need Jesus to come into my heart and come into my life. I need you, Lord, to save me from myself. I thank you that He did come to the earth. He was born of a virgin. He did suffer and died and was buried. And on the third day, He rose again in fulfillment of the scriptures. I accept Him into my heart and my life. Holy Spirit, transform me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Welcome back to the family of God. Take her home.